Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for August 6th, 2012. I'm Beth Below, your go-to resource for all things introvert. The Introvert Entrepreneur was founded in 2010 as a personal and professional development company dedicated to providing services to introverts and those who love them. Our goal is to create empowered, productive environments where introverts can flourish. The key to that is understanding and appreciating what it means to be an innie in an outie world. You can learn more by scheduling a personal information session at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. Part of the reason it's been a little while since my last podcast is that I've been busy with an exciting project. I'm pleased to announce the availability of my first book, titled Insight, Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert. It's a compilation of my favorite blog posts and articles that speak specifically to the introvert, mixed in with topics that are more general but still interesting to anyone who wants to deepen his or her self-awareness. This book is intended to be an affirming, thought-provoking companion on your journey. It's also what I'm calling an appetizer book before the main course, which will be the 2013 publication of the book, The Introvert Entrepreneur. In the meantime, you can order your copy of Insight or download it for Kindle through Amazon.com. To find it, you can do an Amazon search for Beth Below, and that's B-E-T-H-B-U-E-L-O-W, or you can use a shortened URL that I've created to make it easy for you. And that address would be tiny.cc/insightbookonAmazon. So again, that's tiny.cc/insightbookonAmazon. And now on to the podcast interview. Today we're exploring the topic of intuition, which is a powerful tool for both introverts and extroverts alike. Intuition is not just a special gift reserved for psychics, the highly sensitive, or what sometimes we call the woo-woo people. We all have intuition, and we rely on it every day in ways we may not even know about. For instance, there are a range of ways that we have access to our intuition, including through clairsentience, clairaudience, clairvoyance, and direct knowingness. And we're going to talk about all of those terms during this podcast. Intuition is also a key component of self-awareness. This is useful to introverts because it helps us to recognize and cultivate energetic boundaries. For instance, when we're put into challenging situations, whether it's a networking event or a family reunion, it's possible to create your own energetic boundaries that allow you to both be present for others while protecting your own core. And this podcast features a really special treat. My guest, Donna Rowe, leads us through a 10-minute meditation exercise that you can use anytime you want to generate calm and clarity. I know some of you listen to this podcast while you're driving, and I would suggest that you maybe not participate in that 10-minute meditation while you're behind the wheel or operating heavy machinery of any kind. But otherwise, I hope that it's something that you can find useful for when you are looking for a way to recenter yourself and bring some more calm into your day. So my guest, Donna, is an intuitive and spiritual mentor who guides and supports clients on their path of spiritual transformation. A spiritual awakening she had as a young woman led to her path in massage therapy. Her massage practice brought her an awareness of the inner state of her clients, and her desire to bring clients on a deeper level inspired her to pursue training in hypnotherapy and clairvoyant healing. Now, as a transformational coach, Donna works with clients at all levels in helping them discover their personal truth. Through guided meditation and exercises that foster a deep inner awareness, Donna helps clients discover their essence and navigate their lives with total self-acceptance and love. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the podcast. I'm really happy to have you here talking with us about intuition and giving us some meditation information. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Beth. I'm really excited to be on your program today and to share some really kind of practical tips around intuition and exactly what that is and how it does, how we're already using it in our lives.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation with a friend a few years ago, like, we talk about intuition, but what the heck is it, really? So I'm looking forward to hearing your take on that. But before we jump into that, I want you to tell us a little bit about your work. And I know from our conversations that you are a fellow introvert. So I'd like to know how you became an introvert entrepreneur yourself.
Well, the road has been pretty windy and taking turns, but I really feel like I'm coming into my own as an introvert entrepreneur, or being what I call highly sensitive. And I know that, introvert or being highly sensitive doesn't always mean that you're introvert. But in my case, it does. For example, on my Myers-Briggs, I'm an INFP. So I'm very, very sensitive and very tuned into the inner world. And I guess when I was really small, as a young child, I was labeled, sort of as a crybaby, moody. A lot of times I had the label of people reacting to me as being shy or maybe just overly sensitive. And I always sort of felt that through my life, that I just didn't really, I wasn't always fitting in. And so just through everything, going through high school and things like that, I found myself getting into a place. It was sort of like more of an, I would call it the lowest part of my life, or being in a negative place. And I, hung out with people who were not right for me. And I really reached this point where I didn't know what to do. I was a teenager, and, I cried out for help. And I had this, I won't get into all the aspects of it, but really I had what I call a divine intervention or a spiritual awakening. And it's like after that happened, my life just took a turn for the better. And I wasn't trying to work things out. I felt at peace, and I felt more tuned into that there was something guiding me into a higher purpose. So, that led me to a career in massage therapy, and also some trainings in hypnosis and clairvoyance. It all didn't just happen like that, like a neat package or anything, but it was through listening to the divine guidance I was getting that led me to those professions.
Well, something that jumped out at me as you were describing that was that when I wasn't trying, like when you had that turning point, and it sounds like you somewhat, some people use the word surrender or release, or, stop resisting something. And I just picked up on those words and found that interesting, because I think that that's something that a lot of people realize when they're in that uncomfortable or, like you said, sort of with the wrong people and in the wrong space. When they stop trying, that's when things start to turn around.
Exactly. it's really interesting, because the very thing that was really hard for me to accept, or I felt that other people didn't understand, is actually my gift. So I like to take what I have through my trainings in tuning into my intuition. I have extensive training in that, like over 18 years, really. I am actually an ordained minister. Although at present, I do not have a church that I'm practicing at. But I take all of that that I've gone through in my personal life and my intuition, and I really have a passion for working with women, especially women who are sensitive or have introvert tendencies. But the real thing that I like to do is sometimes with women, because we do have so much power, and because we multitask, all the time, we can get caught up in the details of our life. And we sort of lose that original inspiration that we had for what we're doing. So I really like to think of myself as helping that person reconnect what that original vision was all about. And so they're really able to, in a very short time, validate what they're creating.
I find that I myself, and then with clients or colleagues, we get caught up in a lot of shoulds and discover that those expectations sometimes are, we're taking on other people's expectations and not in touch with our own original inspiration.
Yeah, and that's what I like about the intuitive part and being able to tune into that.
I want to ask you some more about the intuition, but before I move to that, I wonder if we could backtrack for just a second, because you've used the phrases highly sensitive, and I'm wondering if you can quickly tell us, in a nutshell, that phrase is not just, you know, I'm a highly sensitive person. It actually has some meaning behind it and a definition. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure. Elaine Aaron is really the person who coined that term, highly sensitive people. And she has a book out called Highly Sensitive People. And I would recommend that be recommended reading for any person who thinks that they may be highly sensitive. And what that is that highly sensitive people have a certain type of nervous system. It's basically, they have this trait. It's an innate trait, and she's done lots of studies into this. But she found that there's like maybe 15-20% of the population that has this trait called HSP, and she found out that they have different ways of processing or taking in information. For example, you could have two children that walk into a room and they're going to ask the teacher a question. And you have one kid that comes in and, you know, just pops into the room and, you know, asks the teacher their question and leaves. If you have the highly sensitive child come in, and they'll notice everything that's going on. They'll notice what are the conditions in the room. They'll notice something perhaps off in the room, you know, like maybe there's something broken, or they'll notice the tone of the voice that the teacher is using with them. They'll know what's going on with them. So they're taking in a lot of different information, whereas the other child did, you know, just came in, did what they needed to do, and went out. So sometimes these two types of people can experience overload easier than other people. They have a tendency to care about more what we would call inner things, like the inner workings, how things work. They go to more depth and explore things. Whatever they're studying, they go to more depth of work with it. The main thing around it, and I want to go into all of the different, how you would recognize that, but they're just, it's like if they have super sensory type of input, you know, sometimes even that group of people, highly sensitive people, will have, you know, things with sound. For example, the same sound that doesn't bother someone else could bother them. Like, for example, I could be in a room with someone and there's this little annoying kind of, like, it seems really high-pitched to me, like it's a computer thing. And that person cannot even hear it where I can.
Thank you for sharing that particular piece, because I know that not every HSP is an introvert, and obviously not every introvert's an HSP, but there is some overlap. And certainly as you were describing HSP, you know, there are definitely sort of traits that are shared with the introvert. So I think it's important for people to be aware of both, and that way they can kind of get the information they need to make their environment even more supportive of who they are. And it seems like HSP and introversion, you know, both must contribute somewhat to intuition, but certainly you don't need to be either in order to have intuition. and you talk a lot about intuition and how important it is to our personal evolution and our transformation. And it sounds like you've certainly experienced that in your own evolution. So can you tell us more about what intuition is? I got all those INT words all mixed up. So what intuition is and how we can become more aware of how intuition is working in our lives.
For me, intuition is something very practical. And I really think that everyone has intuition and is using it every day. We just don't know because we don't term it as such. So I'm going to explain some of the ways that we tune into our intuitive abilities. And the first one is called clairsentience. And I can give an example of that. Clairsentience has to do with feeling something in your body. So, for example, when we go into like a restaurant or a movie theater or some function, we always find our body intuitively knows where it's going to feel most comfortable in that setting. So it could be if we get on a crowded bus or we get, you know, again, whatever environment is, our body actually knows where it's going to feel most comfortable. I'm sure people have had the experience of going into a place and they're kind of circling around, like, oh, no, this isn't right. Oh, and then all of a sudden they go, this is it. Yeah, you can have people saying, well, okay, I chose that because there's a window over there or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter really is your body is feeling, is sensing where it's going to feel most comfortable. I had an experience one time when I was on a BART train and going into the city, into San Francisco. And there was, sometimes it's very crowded, but there happened to be a seat open next to a gentleman, a young man, who had a bicycle. And I went to step over and sit down right next to him, and all of a sudden I stopped. And I just didn't feel comfortable. And, you know, I had some thoughts go through my head, like, you know, Donna, come on, what's going on here? And it's really interesting. I just stood my ground, and then on the next, when we stopped, the train stopped, this gentleman or young man all of a sudden went into this kind of crazy state, like yelling at people. And he appeared to look, you know, normal to me, but there was something, there was a reason why I didn't want to sit next to him. Now, that's an extreme example, but it just shows you how that plays out, how, you know, there's that was the initial trusting that, oh, I didn't want to sit there. And then, you know, those logical, rational tried to come in and say, oh, come on, he's okay, blah, blah, blah. So that's clairsentience at work, very practical. We also have clairaudience, and that's an ability that has to do with our, it's tied into our speaking and our communication. And I guess the way that you could kind of tune into your clairaudience is think about a time that you were speaking with someone, you were in conversation, and the words that were coming out of their mouth didn't really match with what maybe you were picking up. For example, the clairaudience is picking up on the message behind what they're saying. This can be a little tricky. It's a little more subtle. But a lot of times women are always picking up on those examples of when someone may not be truthful with them, and they're picking up that the words are not true. They don't match up with what they intend to say.
And Donna, would you say that, you know, kind of what role does watching body language and tone of voice and inflection and other things, you know, those seem like they're all signals, but I'm sensing you're talking about something that's even less obvious or a little deeper than that.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you can see when someone's posturing a certain way, but mainly when you learn, I teach people a lot about this and how to tune into this. And some people, you know, some people are just have a, are more tuned into one ability more than another. Like, why some people may be very strong at clairsentience, or they're very aware of that. Other people may be very strong at picking up on the message behind what's, you know, the words. People have these different abilities, intuition, operating at different levels, and some people have a higher, you know, ability to tune in. There's about four different ways that they can tune in, and some people have one more than the other. There's a, you know, we have our clairvoyance, which is really about, again, very practical, and when we were little kids, we used to do this all the time, but depending on what your surroundings were like and what your parents were like, clairvoyance is just about speaking the truth. It's not diluting what you see. For example, little kids all the time will say things like when they see, for example, there might be a woman in front of them and she's fat, and the little kid says something like, "Mommy, that woman's fat." And then the parent goes, "Oh, you know, don't say that. That's rude." And yes, you know, we need to be aware of when we may hurt someone's feelings. But when we were young, we had that ability to see things just as they were. And a lot of times, because these things get covered up, like, you know, this is rude, or we can't say this, then we start to close down on those levels of being able just to see the situation at hand as it is. And so we're looking at it through a filter instead of just seeing it for what it really is. And sometimes we need to have, and that's why a lot of times, you know, someone will tell you, "Oh, don't you see how that person really is?" And you're like, "No, they're, you know," you may have the filter up at that point. So it's a, really good that we have people in our life because, you know, we all have blind spots. Yeah, it really is the ability just to see, you know, call a spade a spade. Of course, all of these things that I'm talking about, I'm talking in terms of general terms. I could break these down into a lot of different abilities that kind of come underneath these abilities, but that's not what I want to get into in the program here. I just want to give people an idea that they already have these things operating. It's not something, most people think that their intuition, that they have to, that they don't have it. Or, for example, a lot of people tell me, oh, you're just put together that way. I'm not. And I don't think that way. It's just that I've had an orientation in my life that brought me into, that's something I was going to help people with later in my life. But everybody has the ability to tune into their intuition.
I appreciate you describing these because it does feel like something that people think they either have it or they don't. Like, I'm creative or I'm not. Whereas everybody is creative, and so everybody is intuitive, and it seems to me just knowing, I mean, you know, as I'm hearing these, I had not heard these, I'd heard clairvoyance before, but not clairsentience and clairaudience. Now, knowing those and having that awareness, as I start to notice it more in my life, my guess is I'll start to cultivate it a little bit more, just by knowing what it is.
Exactly. Exactly, as it gets brought into your awareness. And I really think that, that's what I'd like to do in my work, is anyone who's interested in learning more about those abilities, not learning, but tuning into their abilities, really, the doorway is through meditation and getting quiet so that you can receive the information. Because we get so outside of ourselves, you know, in our daily lives, that we don't take time in reflection and to clear out the garbage that's been building up. So it's hard to see those things in the moment a lot of times. The next one that I wanted to talk about was, your what I call your knowingness. Some people call this like a mediumship or whatever, but I don't really like to associate it with that because I feel that gives it sort of a negative, or, you know, people talk about mediumship really negatively, and sometimes people use it to, you know, think about it as talking with the dead or things like that. And that's not really what I do in my work at all. In fact, this last one, knowingness, is really connected with your spirituality and what you came here to do, in your life. And a lot of times, like you said, we are, we're influenced when we're young, and we get influenced all the time by our colleagues through whatever work setting that we're in, and sometimes we get thrown off our path. And the knowingness is about, it's just as easy as this. Have you ever had the experience of just going, I know what I know. I don't know how I know that. I just...
Oh, yes. Absolutely. It frustrates people around me, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, that's a good chance that you have that very... that you already have. You have that, and it's operating in your life. And the more that you appreciate that and tune into that, just like you said with those other abilities, you're going to have... you're going to get a response from your inner self. So it's only when we don't respond to those messages that we're getting that, hey, it's just like anything else. You don't exercise your muscles, you know, they become flabby. So, yeah, I really like the, around knowingness, it's not just about I know, but it's also about you really being aligned with your like getting everything out of the way that everyone taught you about how you need to do your life. You need to boil it down into this little essence. And after because everyone is a unique human being. And so that really, when you can connect with that part of yourself and connecting to what I call a higher power, whatever you want to call it, God, a higher power, then that's when everything can go very smoothly and you begin to have less attention on that this book or that book or this thing or that thing will help me. You know, of course we need to take, you know, We need book learning, and we need all of that. But it's divine when you learn how to tune into that you're on the right course without having to validate yourself with a book or book learning, that you're on the right track. You just know you're on the right track. And then you begin to create things for people in your own essence, in your own style.
The word that popped up as you were talking about that is trust. Seems like that's the gift that comes from really being aware of this and work and having it work in your life, is that you learn to trust yourself and what's happening. So one of the things, and this, that's a great segue to my next question, which is one of the things that intrigues me about your work, is that you teach methods and practices that would seem to help introverts develop internal safety. And by that, I mean the capacity to carry our safety around with us without relying on the environment for either the validation or relying on the environment to provide us with that comfortable place. Because we know that often it can be noisy or overstimulating or exhausting, or, you know, we just feel like we don't have much control. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you might suggest as a practice for someone who wants to have more internal safety?
The first thing that I like to start with in helping people tune into that, what you call internal safety, is they have to know, first of all, what is their own personal space and what is the space of another person. So what I talk about is, so I can make this concrete for people, that we're talking about energetic boundaries. For example, when I used to do massage therapy, when at the very beginning of my career, I would go into and put my hands on someone and pick up on a lot of information. It could be that, you know, feeling pain, sadness, all kinds of things. Now, at first, I didn't know how to differentiate if that was happening with me or if it was happening with the person. And even when I tried to validate that it was happening with other person, sometimes that other person, that was the wrong thing to do, because sometimes that other person was out of touch with what they were really experiencing. So they would say something like, oh, no, that's not happening with me. So then I wasn't sure. So through the practice of meditation and learning about my own energetic space, which would be for you, your body, or your, what I call the aura, because all things are living. So your body is just a denser form of energy. And I expect people to believe this until they've actually really experienced it. So when I teach people in my classes about that they're energetic in quality, and that their body is a denser form of that energy, and how to be safe with that, and how to know what's going on, I'm teaching levels of awareness, so that they can know how to differentiate between themselves and another person that they would be talking with. So, for example, if someone goes to a networking meeting and all of a sudden I introduce myself to someone and I start talking with them, and they're very upbeat and they're a really good salesperson, and all of a sudden I find I'm right in the middle, just like a good book, I'm right in the middle of all of that. And somehow I've lost my center and I don't really know where I'm at. But a lot of times as introverts, we don't know until we've pulled away from the situation. So I guess what I help people to do is to, again, have the awareness, develop the awareness levels of what's going on with them on an inner level first and foremost, and to then supply them with techniques like grounding and other techniques too, meditation, that will help them to maintain their center when they go, you know, to events, or, you know, they go into environments that are crowded, and they know how to best respond to themselves in the moment. Sometimes, again, we get overwhelmed with all the information that we've taken in, and we don't know to get ourselves out there before we've already become overwhelmed, and it's too late. So it's really great when you can respond. You already know, a red flag goes up, and then you're like, okay, I'm out of here. Or whatever you need to do, not necessarily that you need to get out of there, but maybe you need to go into a little quieter space in the building and then just sort of reground yourself and come back.
What you're sharing here is reminding me of a practice that we do in coaching called clearing, and maybe some coaches have different ways of saying the same thing, but it's as we're coming into a conversation, we just check in and say, you know, is there anything that you need to clear? And I see it as kind of a way of getting grounded, and the intention is to release any distractions, anything that's, you know, sort of churning, so that the person, both the person, you know, the client and the coach, can be fully present for the experience.
Yeah.
And ultimately grounded. And I hadn't thought about it quite in that context before, but as you were talking, I thought it's kind of what we're doing there. We're setting up some energetic boundaries between maybe what came before and what we're there to do, and what's another way we can be fully present for each other?
Exactly. Except you're doing it with your words, and then somebody else might be doing that for themselves mentally. Through meditation or, yeah.
Because I even think, like, I love that you brought up a networking event, because that's definitely a space where we can feel like our boundaries are getting violated all over the place. or, you know, just in terms of our energy getting kind of sucked out of us. And I can even imagine doing a grounding or a clearing beforehand to just say, okay, so what do I want to both get back in touch with internally, and what do I want to set aside so that I can just be here instead of feeling like my energy is pulled in lots of different directions.
And that's it's funny, because that's what I'm going to guide you into, a little meditation where you can do this kind of really simple, it's like a little, you know, prime the pump before you go into any situation that may be potentially overwhelming or, you know, cause anxiety. It could be before a networking group. It could be before going to a family gathering. It can be before going into, you know, the shopping mall. You know, you're going to be in a very crowded, you know, convention. So the way that you know, we take our environment with us. Like you were saying, when you're talking with the client, you're wanting to clear, they're going to be more receptive to the type of work. It'll be a beneficial experience for both of you. So if you take the time to prepare your internal environment, then you can, there's like a defining that goes on so that they can bring that, you know, instead of like what happens usually is we go into an event and our energy, we may not be, depending on what we're doing during the day, we've had maybe 1,000 things we're doing, and then we go into a crowded event like that, it's going to be, most likely, we may take on a lot of different things. We may feel overwhelmed. So the more prepared we are energetically or from an inner state, the easier time that we'll have having fun, being more relaxed, and just letting, you know, being more of an observer.
Which introverts love to do. And that it seems like that would free us up to be able to do that and enjoy being in the moment. And I'm excited because we're about to do something I've never done on one of my podcasts, which is to actually have you guide us through a short meditation. And if I understand right, it's about 10 minutes, right? So whenever you would like to, I'm looking forward to this.
All right. So what I would invite everyone to do right now who wants to participate in this guided meditation, I'd like you to find a place in your house where you can be undisturbed. It's really important. And when you want to find a place that's comfortable for you to sit down, it could be a comfy chair or a couch. You want to make sure, too, that you have, if you need to take your shoes, remove your shoes or anything like that. If you have anything binding at the waist, you want to go ahead and just remove that. So the first thing I want you to do, so we're going to go ahead and start right now. Just go ahead and just close your eyelids down. And just start by taking 3 deep breaths in. And this is really important because a lot of times on a breath level, we will sort of match the either stress we've been going through or just whatever we've been doing. It helps us to get more in the present. So I invite you to take a really deep breath in right now. And then just release that breath. Go ahead and take a second breath in. Just postulating as you release that breath, you're going to release any kind of stress or tension in the body. Go ahead and take a third breath in now. Again, as you breathe out, just letting go, just to be present and to be able to focus into the words that I'm going to speak to you right now. This is going to help you to guide you into your center and to be more present. So the first two things that I want you to know that are very important that will help you, can help you to contain your energy is that you're going to find a space which is called the center of the head. And this is what I teach beginning level meditation students. So you're going to, what you're going to do right now is I want you to imagine that you have a line of energy, and I want you to find a place, you don't have to do this physically, but find a place at the top of both of your ears, and just imagine there's a horizontal line being drawn from ear to ear right through the center of your head. And then I want you to imagine another line, which is a vertical line, at the very top of your head, as if you were to find the point in the middle of your head and brought all the way down to the length of your head. And so there's going to be those two lines that intersect. So I want you to be aware of just being, if you were just sitting in the center of your head, you could imagine that you were in a big comfy chair and that you were right in the center of your head, just like a pilot in the cockpit of a small plane. And that you can actually relax into this place as if you were just looking out through maybe a bay window, and your forehead is like the window. And don't worry if there are thoughts going on. You can just re-center yourself in that place. And the other place I want you to become aware of for women, it would be the area right between the ovaries. So if you could imagine right now, and for men it would be at the tailbone. That's the focus point. I want you to imagine that you had, it could be like a tree trunk. What we're going to do is a concept called grounding. So just like a ship puts down anchor, those are some big ships, they put down that anchor, that ship is not going anywhere. So I want you to imagine right now, and use your imagination. You can play with whatever you would like. Just imagine either maybe a tree going down from that spot for women right between the ovaries and for men at the tailbone. Just imagine that extending all the way down into the earth, to the center of the earth. Now, I don't want you to go down to the center of the earth. I want you to maintain staying in the center of your head and just imagining that you're seeing that really root into the center of the earth, and that also this is a grounding cord that we're creating, that it has space in the center of it for you to be able to release things. So imagine it as just being a hollow inside, but it being very strong and going down to the center of the earth. And this is just going to help you to bring your energy around your body right now. So again, refocus your attention right at that center of your head, while just being aware of your head. Being aware of your face. Just allowing things to relax. If you find you're distracted by a thought, you can just bring yourself back to your center. The center of the head, allowing your body to continue to relax. Be aware of the back of your neck. Be aware of your shoulders. Become aware of your arms.
as you do this, you're just letting go. You can just stay in the center of your head, allowing your body to relax. There's no need to be an effort, just to let go. Just imagine what it would be like if a warm wave of relaxation is coming over your body. Even your breathing is slowing down a little bit. If you need to, if it just comes natural, you can take deeper breaths in to help release the rib cage in your chest. Just allowing your whole stomach area to relax. Noticing the differences in your body. Noticing what your spine is feeling like right now, both your upper, middle, and lower part of your spine. Notice that your lower part of your body, your buttocks, your upper thighs, and your knees, all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. You might find that there's some parts that you are more aware of in your body, while others you're not so much aware of or harder to tune into, and that's okay. You can just allow that to be. And if there's any stress or tension or any kind of thoughts, anything that's wanting you to disrupt, any disruptive thoughts, just allow those to easily drop down your grounding cord. You can imagine those large boulders just rolling on down. You can imagine it like a stream of water taking all the thought stream down. So now that you've quieted down a little bit, I want you to imagine the event, or perhaps an environment you're going to walk into. Out in front of you. And just notice what your body is like. Notice how you would like to be in that event. Do you want to bring a sense of calm into that environment? Do you want to maintain your focus? And you can do this really easily by imagining it as a color for yourself. Or if there's a symbol that comes up for you, you could use that symbol to help you key into what you want to bring into that environment. And so you're going to bring that grounded and whatever what you want to bring into the environment with you. So I really want you to get into what it would be like if you could do that. So if you're talking with someone and you find that you're being overwhelmed, that you can easily see yourself maintaining your composure or responding to whatever you need in that moment. But that means walking away. You just see yourself easily doing that. So keeping it simple is the key. I want you right now to just imagine you being at your best. So allow that color, whatever, if there was a color you were seeing or a symbol, I want you to just focus in on that. Just send it your love. And you can just allow that image to be surrounded in a big helium balloon right now. And just allow that to be taking on up into Just let it go. And just know, because you've set out an intention, you've set an intention that you can just now walk into that. So when you're at your event, you can just allow that to happen for yourself. Just bring your attention right now to refocus on your breath. Just being in the center of your head. Being more aware of your own personal space. How good it feels to just take a moment to be inside and to reconnect with your own being, your intelligence. In a minute, I'm going to have you just gently open your eyes, but before you do that, I want you to just imagine what you would like your day to be like for the rest of the day. Be one word. And you can just go ahead and open your eyes. Just be here. Take a nice deep breath in. Okay. Allow everyone to come back and just be here. And thank you very much.
Thank you. That is clarifying. There was a moment when I felt like I could feel the blood running through my veins in my hands, just like an awareness of what I appreciate is it's that awareness of these different parts of your body and your relationship to them that usually we just don't even notice.
I didn't say anything, but a lot of times when we don't have awareness of different parts of our body, it's a good thing that we need to bring more of our attention in around that part of our body.
Well, thank you very much for that. That's a gift. So thank you.
You're welcome.
As I was expecting, I'm feeling very calm and mellow now. and so to transition to the last question that I always ask my guests, kind of goes in the theme of being kind of calm and mellow, because it has to do with Introvert Island, which I always think of as kind of a calm and mellow place. And I always ask my guests, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take with you 3 books, what would you take with you and why?
Well, first of all, I like that concept of Introvert Island. I immediately thought of a tropical place.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The first book, and some people may be surprised by it, but it's the Bible. And I've always found a lot of, not always, but I've always been attracted to the Bible and to its inner meaning that it can deliver to people. And there's it really is a book that, especially in the New Testament, it helps me get centered and re-inspired. It really is, the way that I study the Bible is all about an inward experience with it rather than, someone memorizing a bunch of, Bible verses and trying to uphold those verses or something. It's really, for me, it's all about inspiration. And then the other book I would want would be a biography, and I couldn't choose just one person. So really, I'm really a spontaneous kind of person, so it would be in the moment. But I really like biographies, I said, because, one, I'm nosy. I like to know all the details about someone's life. I just want to know what makes people tick.
Do you like to read the biographies of any particular type of person, like a historical figure or celebrities or, anything, anything you find yourself drawn to?
I think, women and people are kind of eccentric, that they kind of didn't fit in the status quo kind of thing. And Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have to be an actor. Usually they're kind of controversial. And the last book I would with you would be a humor book, and I said that I would like, something. I like Ellen DeGeneres. I like a lot of the old comedians, too, so I just like her style. She's really open and extremely funny.
Well, thank you for those recommendations. And just to wrap things up, if people want to learn more about you and what you have to offer, where can they find you?
You can visit me at mysaltinsight.com. And I want to encourage, I just started a new thing on my website, what I call Meditation Mondays, and people can listen to a free recording every Monday that will help take them into a meditative space and help start their week right.
And do you have a presence on Facebook or Twitter or any place else that they can find you, or do you have links to that from your website?
Yeah, I have links from my website to those pages, to Facebook and Twitter.
Well, thank you so much for the gift of both your wisdom and your presence, and for that meditation exercise. And it's exciting to know that you're going to be doing some ongoing meditation recordings, that if somebody wants to get more, that's certainly one way of many that they can do that. So thank you so much.
Definitely. If you, and also they can, for the listeners, or they can, if they would like, take advantage of a 30-minute free coaching session with me and see if, you know, we would be a good match. And looking forward to working with anyone who, you know, has gotten to that place where they just need to renew, they need to get their self back to their original intention. They're just feeling stuck and need inspiration. It can happen just like that. That's what I love about type of work that the text tools that I work with people is that it can happen in a moment. It's really wonderful.
Well, you're doing wonderful work, and it's definitely a gift in the world. So thank you for sharing it with us, and I hope that anyone listening will take advantage of having a conversation with you, and definitely make sure you check out those Monday meditations. So thanks, Donna.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you for joining us today and listening to the podcast. I hope you took away a few useful tools that will strengthen your own intuition and energy. Donna has provided an excellent reminder for me, and I hope for you, about the power of slowing down and listening to your inner wisdom, which is critical to being a happy and sustainable introvert. If you want to learn more about The Introvert Entrepreneur and my coaching, speaking, and training services, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And I would be truly honored if you decided to pick up a copy of my first book, Insight: Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert, available on Amazon.com. The easy URL that I shared with you in the beginning is tiny.cc/insightbook on Amazon. If there's any way I can support you in your journey, please be in touch and let me know. I hope you have a wonderful and productive week, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.